Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Well, good morning, church. Hey, I wasn't here last week. We got to get a little rowdy. I'm a little rowdy this morning. I don't know about you. Good morning, church. Yeah, we got a little Wildcat victory in the house. Oh, that's how we're going to go this morning, huh? Yeah, it's not a big deal to beat Kentucky this year. What's up with that? Come on. Yes. Yes. It's an interesting year when it's a big deal to beat Kentucky. I don't know. I don't know if that says more about Kentucky or Tennessee. I don't know. Hey, it's great to be with you, though. Last weekend, I enjoyed hanging out with a bunch of dudes in North Carolina from our church and got to minister there. And I got to watch Gina's message, and she just killed it, didn't she? Like, I love the message she brought. Yeah, we can clap for that. Yeah. And I want you to know my heart, and I love it because here's what I want. And I hope you've heard me enough. I've been here, I don't know, about 18, 20 months. Man, I have zero desire to build a church around Derek. Everybody said amen to that, right? Like this church is really going to struggle if it's about me. And I don't want that. My wife doesn't want, none of y'all want that. And so part of what I strategically do is I want you to hear from different people. I want you to hear from different perspectives. I want you to hear different experiences of life. And so when we get Gina or Richie or Chris or whoever, I love that we're at a church where we come and we're just around the presence of God. And we're like, God, teach me something today. I don't care who's teaching, but teach me something today. And so I want to thank you that you are that kind of people, that you're like, man, whoever it is, I want to receive from them. And I'm so grateful that that's the kind of church we are. This weekend is a big weekend. Tomorrow we celebrate our veterans, and we've been talking about risk taking. I've been thinking about this reality that some of the biggest risk takers in our society are those that defend our freedoms. That they have risked their lives, and sometimes they've risked their relationships with family. They've risked their careers in order to serve and defend our country. And we are forever indebted to the men and women who have gone before and who are there now defending our country. And so here's what I want to do. I just want us to honor the veterans in the house today. And so if you're a veteran, I want you to stand up to your feet and stay standing. I'm going to pray over you. Just pop up to your feet real quick if you're a veteran. Yeah, let's honor these guys. Woo! Men and women. So stay standing. So you can see we got men and women all over the house this morning. And stay standing. We just want to honor you guys. Man, so, so good. And I want to pray a blessing over you. And I want you to know, first of all, from your pastor and from this church, we're grateful for your service to our country. We're grateful for, regardless of what occupational role you had, your active time, whatever, we're grateful that you said yes to defend our country and that you served. And so I just want you to know that we honor you. We're so grateful. I'm grateful the fact that I can stand up here and preach without worrying about, you know, the laws or whatnot. I'm grateful. And part of that gratefulness is that people like you, men and women, have gone out and defended our nation and our freedom, and we're so grateful. So here's what I want. I just want to pray a blessing over you. So church, I'm going to ask you to join me in blessing these brave men and women who took a lot of risk, probably. A lot, it wasn't just one risk, a lot of risk. And we just want to honor them and lift them up to the Father this morning. So join me in praying. Father, I thank you. Man, so grateful for the men and women that are standing up in this room and for so many that we're going to celebrate on Monday, our veterans who have taken a lot of risks in order to secure and defend this liberty of this great country. I pray just favor upon them. I pray just connection upon them. Lord, we just speak against any way that our veterans would feel unseen or neglected. Lord, I pray that we as a church, we as a community would rally around and support and love on our veterans from all walks of life. Lord, may life abound. May there be a fresh anointing of your Spirit upon them. And may they know you even greater this week. And may they know that they are loved and honored and respected in this country. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give it up one more time for these guys. Yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, so we've been talking about risk, and so today I want to continue. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14 today. If you have your Bible, if you have a phone with an app on it, pull that open, get to Matthew 14. As we've been talking about risk, talking about this kingdom risk, where I hear from God and I step out, we've been talking about kind of risk in general. And my son, my oldest son, is a sixth grader, and And he has taken up the sport of golf, which I'm like, amen to that. Let's go golfing. I love the golf. And so I've got another excuse to go golfing, which is always great. And so he's in sixth grade this year. And so he had the first opportunity to try out for an actual golf team, right? And so he's like, man, I've been playing. I love the game of golf. And he's pretty good at it. And he's like, I'm going to try out. And so it came the day where he was going to try out. And he woke up in the morning. He's like, Dad, I got a headache. And my stomach kind of hurts. I'm like, it's all right, son. We've all been there. It's nerves. It's all right. I pick him up from school that day, get ready to take him over to the Meadowview Cattails. And he's like, Dad, like, I got a worse headache. It hasn't gone anywhere. And my stomach is really just knotted up. And maybe I shouldn't try out. And I said, hey, buddy, this is the deal. I think you should try out, but here's what I want you to want to try out. Like, what you're experiencing now, that's anxiety, that's fear, that's normal. I've been there, I've done that. But I'm asking you, if you want to do this, you got to push through it. And he said, all right, I'm going to do it. And he got out of my truck and got his bag and walked down to the practice screen to meet the rest of the players. And I hung out there, got some work done. And afterwards, my thoughts toward him were not, hey, did you get a birdie? Did you get a par? My thoughts towards my son was, man, I'm so proud of you. I'm proud of you because you took a step out and you took a risk where you could have got rejected. And we didn't even find out if he made the team or not for a couple days later, but I was so excited as his father that I saw my son step out from his anxiety, his fear, and step into a place that was unknown to him. And that's the idea of risk that we're talking about, stepping into the unknown, stepping out. And that's what specifically I want to talk about today, stepping out from what we know, stepping out from the normal routine, the comforts we know, the safety we know, and stepping out to be with Jesus. That's what I want to talk about today when we talk about risk. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at the story of Peter, but before that, we see that Jesus has been walking around the earth, and he's been doing some incredible things and teaching some amazing messages, been demonstrating the power of God in some incredible ways, And then he gets about 5,000 men are gathered around, and plus women and children all kind of running around, and Jesus is teaching, and they get towards the end of the day, and people are hungry, right? Because you and I, we know, if I'm preaching an hour and 15 minutes, you're like, man, I'm kind of hungry, Derek. I got to get. And so these people are like, hey, Jesus, like 3-hour sermon. It's time to eat, right? And so Jesus tells the disciples, hey, guys, go get these guys some food. They're hungry. We want to serve them. And the disciples kind of gather together and say, man, did Jesus like ask me to get food for 5,000 people? Yeah. Hey, anybody have that kind of limit on your Amex that we can go like comp this? Like, nope, we don't have that. Okay. Jesus, we can't do it. And Jesus says, okay, guys, listen, you actually can do it. I wouldn't have sent you to do something that you couldn't have done, by the way. But you know what? Hey, go grab what you can. Go grab whatever fish you got. Go grab whatever bread you got. And so they brought back a couple fish, a couple loaves of bread. And Jesus says, you know what? Give it to me. Hand it to me. And he began to pray a blessing over it. He broke it and he passed it out and said, hey, go pass these out. And after the day was over, everybody got their fill. There were 12 baskets full of leftovers. What? Let me remind you, the disciples were there. They were the ones passing out the food. They were the ones that saw all of this. And yet in that moment, they still couldn't fully comprehend. Their spirit man hadn't really opened up to who Jesus was. And so we're on the tail end of that amazing miracle where Jesus fed the 5,000 men plus women and children. And then we pick up right here in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I'd love for you to follow along with me. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain to be by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Now, there's a couple observations I want to make sure we see in this. One of the observations I love in this is that Jesus, he spent a lot of times pouring out. He poured out, did some incredible things. But then he said, you know what? I need to connect with my Father by myself. And he sent his disciples on. He sent all the crowds away. And he went up on a mountain just to be with his Father. And this is not in the scripture, but I can just imagine, Dad, did you see when I prayed for that food? It just kept coming. Yeah, son, that was awesome, man. So good. Dad, what do you have for me to do next? What do you want to do? Because we know only Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying and only did what the Father was doing. So the Father's constantly showing him and telling him what to do, right? Because he was connected to the Father. How much more do you and I need to be connected to the Father? And I want to encourage you, man, there's rhythms of life that get super crazy and hectic. Some of us just need to get away on a mountain and say, Father, what are you doing? What do you have to say about me? Man, we love to hear what everybody else has to say, what we say about ourselves. But a lot of times we just say, Father, what do you have to say about me? And Father, what are you doing in my life that you're inviting me into? This is the routine that Jesus had, the rhythm that he had. And then we see that the disciples there in this boat, and so I don't know if you can see it, this boat, it is camouflaged, so it may be hard for you to see, but I borrowed this boat here today, and the disciples, they're on their boat, and they're fighting against the wind and the waves. It's in their face, and so Jesus is up praying, just chilling with the Father, but they're like fighting to get across this sea. They're all there, and it says by the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. in the morning. So imagine they've been fighting the wind, pushing against it. It's late in the night, and they're just exhausted and tired. And Jesus comes to them, right? This beautiful picture. And now, if you look at the rest of this verse, it says that Jesus comes to them, and he says, but the disciples saw him walking in the sea, and they were terrified, and they say, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Now just imagine you're in this little boat. It's kind of sketchy. If you're in the middle of a lake in this boat, you'd be a little sketchy. But anyhow, you're in this boat and you see something on the surface, not like a boat, like a fish jumping, but you see something walking across. And my first thought, that's Loch Ness. That's Nessie, the Loch Ness monster. Anybody else? Like, that's exactly, Jesus help me. And so they see this person and they're like, is this a ghost? And they scream out in fear. Have you ever been scared and you scream like I've screamed like a little girl sometimes. I'm like, ah! That's what these guys are doing in essence, right? They're like, what is going on? And I love this picture. In the midst of the storm, they're seeing what they don't know what it is. There's this unknown. There's this the storm is there, so they can't see clearly. And out of that place, Jesus says, listen, fear not. Do not be afraid. Why? Because I'm with you. Let me remind you, Jesus said this in the middle of the storm. Everything wasn't calm. Everything wasn't quiet. In the midst of the storm, Jesus says, fear not, guys, don't be afraid. It's me. It echoes back to what David said. He said in Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because David was a bad dude. He was an awesome dude. He was a warrior. He had some weapons. No, he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you, Father, are with me. You, Father, are with me. And Jesus wants them to know, listen, guys, you're not alone. I'm with you. Even though the storm's going crazy, I'm with you. And I think some people in this room, you need to hear that this morning. You got chaos. You've got things all happening around you. Here's what Jesus wants you to know. Listen, guys, I'm here with you. Calm down. Peace. Trust in me. I'm here. Now, the story kind of picks up a little bit and builds some interest here. So they hear Jesus say, take heart. It's I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter. Anybody else love Peter? Anybody else? Because I love Peter because Peter just is a passionate guy, kind of says whatever comes to mind, puts his foot in his mouth all the time. I can relate to that really well. And so Peter's like, Lord, if this is you, command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come on. Come on, buddy. Come out here in the water. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Here's one of the first things I want you to write down in your notes, that new experiences require new risks. New experiences require new risks. And that's a principle that's across the board, not just a spiritual risk, but all risks. Like for my son, if he wanted to experience the newness of being on a team, on the golf team, guess what? He had to put himself out there. He had to step out and he had to take a risk in order for the potential of being part on the team. And I want to tell you, in your career, if you want to experience something new in your career, it's going to take a risk that you have not done in the past. If you want your marriage to be better than it's ever been, I'm telling you, for you to experience that level of greatness in your marriage, it's going to require some risk on your part. And the same thing is true with our relationship with God. If we want to experience the things of God, we've got to take a risk. And I hear all the time, people are like, man, I want to experience the power of God. I want to experience the love of God. And we should. That's our wiring in our DNA. God created us to desire his presence, to encounter him, not just know about him. But what I find out is people, when they're like, man, I want to experience God, yet they're not willing to pray for somebody to be healed. People want to experience the forgiveness of God. Like, I want to experience, not just know about it, yet they're not willing to confess their sins to a God who says he'll forgive us. We want to know the love of God, yet we're not really willing to step out and extend the love of God to somebody else. Or maybe we're not even willing to love ourselves as God loves, which is a precursor to loving somebody else, right? If we want to experience something new, we've got to step out. And so here's the reality. You know, there were quite a few men in this boat. Guess how many of them ever walked on water, though? One. Peter. Peter was the only one. They said, God, if you're willing, Jesus, have me step out. And Jesus says, come on. And he stepped out, and he was the only one that took the risk to step out of the boat. Now, when you think about Peter stepping out of the boat, I don't know if you think like this. I'm maybe a little odd like this. But how do you think Peter got out of the boat? You ever thought about this? Like, these are real situations. Like, did Peter say, hey, John, give me your hand. He just called me. Did you see that? Like, is that Peter? Or was he like, I'm coming, Jesus. I almost killed myself right there. Wow. Love offering would have been in effect right there. But like, how did he jump out? I don't know, but we should think about these things. Even though we'll never know until we see Peter say, hey, Peter, how did you jump out of the boat, bro? Like, but these are real things. Like, how did Peter get out of the boat? We don't know. It's just cool to think about. But what I know is he got out of the boat. Because he got out of the boat, he experienced things that nobody else had experienced in that boat. He walked with Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you want to experience a new level, a new understanding of God, it's going to require for you to get out of the boat. When I say boat, I don't mean the literal boat. Like the boat of comfort, the boat of safety, the boat of playing everything close to the vest, the boat of saying, I'm going to just do the things I've always done. If you want to experience God, you got to break the routine. Because here's what I know about Jesus. We love to think of Jesus as all like, he's so safe. Oh, he's so great. Jesus is not safe. He's not safe. He's not. And when he calls us out of the boat, it's not going to be safe. Can you imagine Peter's mom in the boat? Peter, do not even think about that. Peter, there is wind, there is waves. We don't even know how deep this is. And it is 3 a.m. You should be in bed anyhow. Peter, don't do it. And Jesus is like, come on, bro. Step out of the boat, man. Come on. Come on. Step out of the boat. This is what I think Jesus has for all of us. And why so many of us are so bored of this Christian faith, bored of this church thing, is because we sit in the boat and we're like, why aren't we enjoying this? Why aren't we experiencing God? And it's because we're sitting in the boat and we don't want to do anything about it. But I'm telling you this morning, if you want to experience God in a new way, you know, experience some of the things you read about in the scriptures, you want to experience what it's like to live a full, fulfilling life, I'm going to tell you, it's going to require you to take a new risk, to step out of the boat. Because this is where Jesus is. He's calling us out. Come on, step out with me. And even though it's not safe, listen, I'm going to tell you, you've never been more alive as when you step out in faith to follow God. Beautiful. This is what Peter did. And so I'm gonna challenge you that God is working wherever you're walking. God is working wherever you're walking, whatever occupation you have, whatever friendships you have, relationships, God is at work. What if every day we woke up and said, instead of just saying, you know what, God, another day on the grind, putting in my time, 40, 50, 60, 70 hours this week, can't wait for the weekend. What if we woke up every day and said, God, man, I'm alive and I'm free. And I know that you're doing something on the path that I'm walking today. Will you show me what you're doing? Will you show me, Father? And then, Father, would you invite me to do it? So when I get to work, Lord, God, what are you doing? These are the conversations we gotta be having for God. God, what are you doing at my school, in my classroom? What are you doing as I'm a student? What are you doing in my job? What are you doing as I lead my company? God, what are you doing? Show me somebody you want me to talk to today. Show me somebody I need to love today. Show me how to walk in integrity today. This is the joy and the adventure of following Jesus. It's not boring and it's not safe. It's gonna require risk. And this is what we see in Peter's life. He stepped out. Now, the story could end there, and we're like, man, that's great, but maybe some of us know the story. It gets a little bit more interesting. So Peter is walking on the water to Jesus. He heard Jesus say it, and then Peter in verse 30, he said he saw the wind. His mom's voice was in the background. I see, I told you so. He saw the wind, and he was afraid, and he began to sink. And as he began to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately, if you have your Bible underlined, immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Right? It's beautiful. Peter's on the water, and then he starts seeing everything going around. Oh, my goodness, what am I doing? Question. And then he begins to sink. And this is how I've heard this taught so many times, is that Peter didn't have enough faith. Peter didn't have enough faith. And I would challenge you to say, man, I don't know of many people that have walked on water. Peter had enough faith, right? Anybody else agree? Like, Peter had more faith than many of us would just dream to have, right? Peter had enough faith. Now, when Jesus says, "You of little faith," there's a Greek word that I just want to slip into a teacher mode for a second. There's a Greek word that I'm not going to humiliate myself by trying to say here. You can knock yourself out if you want to try to say it. But this word in the Greek is actually a compound word of two Greek words, oligos and pistis. Now, this word pistis, it means faith. And that first word, oligos, it means small quantity of duration. So what I often had heard is that Peter just had too small of a faith. But I would challenge you to say, man, any man that's walking on water had plenty of faith. What he lacked was the duration of faith. See, he was walking on the water, doing just fine, tons of faith. But in that moment, we see Jesus say, Peter, why was your faith so brief? And here's what was kind of heavy on my heart this week is, and it's good for us to ask for more faith. Like, it's always good to ask for our capacity to increase of trusting God. But here's what I want to challenge you with. Sometimes we don't just need more faith. We just need to keep the faith longer. Sometimes we don't need a greater amount of faith. Sometimes we just got to say, Jesus, I'm trusting you one more step. Jesus, I'm going to trust you one more day. Jesus, I'm going to trust you with this decision one more time. But what happens in reality is we step out to where we feel like Jesus is calling us. We have some conversations with people and they don't go well, or we operate in integrity, or we try to see our marriage restored, and we're walking, and yet the storm is all around us, right? People all around us. Things happening, not going so well. And what if Peter, instead of just getting so captivated by all this peripheral, kept his faith in Jesus? What faith that got him out of the boat would be the faith that would sustain him all the way to Jesus. What if we had that? And I think some of us in this room, you feel beat up. You feel like, man, I follow Jesus. I'm trying to step out in faith. I'm trying to work for my marriage. I'm trying to fight for my job. And I'm going to tell you, keep your faith one more day, one more step. One more step. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. And then I love this picture. This is immediately when Peter begins to sink, he cries out, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me," which, oh, by the way, is a great place for us to be in when we realize that we're sinking. When you're like, man, I never thought I'd be in this position in my life. Like, I've been running from God. I've been making decisions. I made a mess of my relationships. I've done this and that. And now I find myself, the greatest thing we could do in those moments is say, "Jesus, will you save me? Jesus, will you meet me?" And it says immediately, Jesus reaches down and grabs Peter. And this is what I know, is that connection conquers chaos. Connection conquers chaos. And Jesus says, "Listen, I'm here with you, Peter. I've been here. I'm here with you, man. I know you had this brief faith, but I'm here with you now." And I think some of us in this room, we need to see this, right? But here's the challenging part, that the storm is still raging around Peter when he gets the hand of Jesus. Like, the circumstance has not changed. The only thing has changed is that Peter recognizes that he's with Jesus, that he's connected with Jesus. And here's what I want to tell you, is that God is more concerned about the chaos in here than he is out here, right? Like, it's a really cheap gospel to tell you, you come to Jesus and everything's going to be perfect. I wish I could tell you that, but that's not what Jesus said. He says, "Listen, if you want to follow me, it's not going to be safe. It's going to be challenging. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be people that persecute you." But he said, "Take heart." Why? "Because I've overcome the world. And oh, by the way, I'm never going to leave you." See, what Jesus cares more about anything when we're going through things is he want to make sure in here there's no chaos, there's no conflict, that there's peace, that even in the battle, even in the chaos, I can still walk in peace because of who Jesus is and that he is with me, right? Connection conquers chaos. And oh, by the way, You cannot lose. You cannot fail when you step out with Jesus. Did Peter fail? That's a good question. We should ask these questions when we read the scripture. Did Peter fail? I would say he didn't. I would contend that he didn't fail, right? Here's the thing about failing. When we think about fail, how we find out is that God's grace is sufficient. That even when we step out and we feel like we have dropped the ball, we begin to feel ourselves sinking, we begin to feel ourselves kind of losing faith and doubting in those moments, he says, listen, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to lift you up, right? You cannot fail when you step out to follow Jesus. At the very least, you're going to learn something along the way about how good he really is. You cannot fail. What if we had that mindset when we attacked this world, when we left this church and went into our city? You cannot fail. Now Peter continues, and so he's got, Jesus has him, and in verse 32 and 33, it says, when they, that means Peter and Jesus, got back to the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This is one of the last things I want you to write down in your notes. Is that your kingdom risk can reveal Jesus to others. Your kingdom risk has the potential of revealing Jesus to others, right? If Peter never got out of the boat, he never said, Jesus, will you let me come to you? He never saw him jump out of the boat. He never saw him walk on water. He never saw Jesus heal or grab him and bring him back. I'm telling you, they never would have understood Jesus in that way. But it says because they saw Peter take a risk, because they saw Jesus in the midst, they worshiped him in a new way. And this is the potential of your life. The potential of every person in here is that when you take a risk to follow Jesus, to step out and extend kindness where there's been hatred, to extend love where there's been no love, to serve somebody who you don't think needs to be served, to honor somebody you're like, man, I don't want to honor that person. When you do that, there's potential that that person could experience Jesus for the first time. And this is what we see in Peter's life. And I would say to this point is that most of us come to faith through somebody else's risk. Think about it. Somebody stepped out to share this good news of Jesus. Somebody stepped out to be kind to you. Somebody invited you to church. Somebody invited you to their home, out to coffee. I don't know. But just think about all the times people come to faith, come in the kingdom of God, that most often it comes through somebody's risk. And what I want to challenge you is, what if you were that somebody taking a risk? Like, what if today you allow yourself to be challenged, that you say, you know what? You know, I don't want to stay in my boat. Like, the boat appears to be comfortable. The boat appears to be pretty safe. The boat appears to be where I should stay. But I don't know about you, most of my life, man, I was in the boat, man, I was running hard, making money, trying to make moves in my career, and I was bored out of my brains. Every time I got somewhere, a new promotion, man, I was, okay, on to the next one, that rat race you get into that I was in, I gotta fight against myself. And we somehow believe that somehow staying in the boat is where I'm gonna find life. Somehow, we believe that lie. And I want to challenge you that that's not what God's called you to. What he calls us to is to actually take a step out. To say, God, what are you doing? What are you doing right now in my home? What are you doing at my business? And he invites us to join him. And when we take that step of faith, listen, I'm going to tell you, you've never been more alive. You'll never be more alive than when we step out and we join in what Jesus is doing around us. Because he's working all around your life. Any area you go, restaurants, the YMCA, your workout facility, your school, your home, your work, Jesus is at work there. And our joy as his followers is that we get to join him in that work. And when we take a step, take a risk, we get to experience God in ways that we never thought possible, ways we only dreamed. And people will come to faith, find life, have abundant life because we were willing to risk it to follow Jesus. And you may say, Derek, you know, I don't have a job where I got a lot of influence. And I would say, you know what? You don't need a big job. You don't need a title. You don't need a lot of money. You just need to be alive. Wherever you go, you have the opportunity to say, Jesus, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I want to be part of that. And when we step out to join him, listen, we're going to have incredible encounters with God. Incredible encounters with God. But it's going to take a risk. It's going to take a risk. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for Peter and his craziness, his willingness to follow you. Thank you that he really gives us an example of what it looks like to step out of the boat today. To step away from what everybody else is doing, what I've always known, the routines. And when we hear your voice, to actually say yes. So Lord, I just pray that right now over our church, Lord, that we would be a people that seek your voice, seek your leading, and that we would have a boldness and a courage and a trust that you are good, and that we would step out with you and we would see incredible things happen in our community. We'd see lives transformed. We'd see this community just rallying together to be a beautiful reflection, to be literally, as our city is called, a model city for what it looks like for people to follow you, to usher in your kingdom. Lord, we bless your name, Jesus. Be honored even as we sing today, as we close this service. Amen. Let's stand and sing this one last song.